It's Thursday and time for Across the Aisle, our weekly roundtable on politics. This week, Cynthia Dill, an attorney and former Democratic legislator, Phil Harriman, a financial planner who served in Augusta as a Republican, and Dick Woodbury, an economist and independent lawmaker. They spoke with Keith Shortall.
Cynthia, Dick, Phil, happy Thursday. A GOP primary election in Alabama has emerged as a big deal in the eyes of some, as it has emboldened conservative candidates in the party to take on establishment Republicans in congressional races. Phil, how is the victory of Roy Moore over Luther Strange a setback for establishment Republicans, according to the conventional wisdom?
Well, I think it's a another message from we the people to the insiders in Washington that we want business in Washington to be done differently. So I actually think Mitch McConnell is needs to listen to what the voters in Alabama have said, just like the voters in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin sent a message to Hillary Clinton that we want things done differently in Washington.
Cynthia, President Trump had backed the establishment guy, Strange, in this one, so I was confused by that. So it's seen, though, as a blow to Trump, but the White House responded saying, well, but it's really a win for Trumpism.
Well, whatever it is, Roy Moore is an individual who blatantly violated a court order and refused to enforce the Supreme Court's ruling on gay marriage. So I just think it's interesting and ironic that the Republican Party is celebrating him at the same time being so self-righteous about kneeling and protesting the flag and, you know, other sorts of alleged patriotism. I mean, this guy is a lawless, I don't know, he seems like a nutcase to me. So I think it was good that President Trump didn't endorse him. And I think it's a sad commentary on today's politics if we, the people, are supporting a guy who doesn't respect the Constitution, doesn't respect the supremacy of the Supreme Court orders.
So are Democrats, though, seeing opportunity here with this?
Well, yes and no. I mean, yes, if he was running in any other state, it would be another, you know, the Todd Akin of 2018. But unfortunately, in Alabama, where I think Trump won by a landslide and there hasn't been a Democrat elected in 10 years, he'll probably be elected to the Senate. And what that means is that this illness that's in the House of Representatives, which is, you know, we see the Freedom Caucus just obstructing everything. And I just see that now leaking into the Senate. We're going to have that kind of gridlock, somebody who can't compromise. He even says he's proud of the fact that he refuses to compromise, which is exactly what we don't need in Washington.
Dick, could the effects of this make it all the way to Maine?
Well, I don't think Maine is Alabama, but I do think that the seeds of what is happening in politics generally, in society generally, you know, and maybe especially in the Republican Party, where the Republican Party was already a combination of identifiable groups that didn't necessarily fit together perfectly. And the one that's, you know, kind of taking control at the moment is the nationalist, anti-establishment, anti-elite populist group. But there's been the religious conservative aspect of the party that's been important to many Republicans. And then there's been, you know, what is more the establishment that has had a range from very conservative but still part of the establishment elite to a more moderate Republicans. And so, I think there is a very significant political battle within the Republican Party, and it plays out in primaries and who wins primaries, where the nationalists are kind of doing well right now. But it, you know, reverberates to eventually to the general elections.
Phil, is this being reflected locally here as well?
I think it is, in the sense that there are people who went to vote, Democrats and Republicans, who said to the insiders, hey, look, you're not speaking a language I understand. In my world, you said my health care costs are going to go down and I can keep my doctor and so on and so forth. And you said, if I vote for you, we'll fix it. I was taught that 1 + 1 = 2, and you're not able to show me in Washington that you can do basic math, so I don't believe when you talk to me about numbers. that you're telling me the truth. So I'm going to exercise the only power I have, which is to go to the ballot box and vote for somebody else.
Speaking of math, the president's put out his tax plan. There's a lot going on in there. We can't get into that. But critics have said that it's a gift to the rich and doesn't do enough for the middle class.
There are certainly a lot more facts to come out. However, the plan so far has been more specific on the items that do favor the wealthier end. And that's the large reduction in the corporate tax, the reduction in the highest rate, the treatment of pass-through income at a new 25% rate, where now it can be as high as the 39% rate. What's different about this than some tax reforms is that there appears to be a willingness to throw a lot of money at it, as in make the deficit a whole lot bigger so that there aren't so many losers. And whether that gives it a better chance of actually happening, it's a little hard to predict at this point.
Cynthia, this has been held up as the thing that has the best chance of being passed in the wake of what we've seen. Do you think it does?
Well, the details, of course, remain to be seen. But I do think that Democrats and Republicans agree generally that the corporate income tax rate has to be reduced. Everyone knows the United States has the highest, stated rate. Of course, the effective rate is significantly lower. But so that's a good thing. There's going to be fights, though, that the plan intends to remove the estate tax. I hope that there is a deal, but I do think it's worth noting Republicans campaign on a message of smaller government and reduced deficits. We've been, hearing all the whining about the deficit increase caused by Obamacare without really taking into account the reductions in, overall health care costs down the road. And here is a plan that is going to increase the deficit substantially.
I think I can speak for all of us, even though we come from different political persuasions here on our panel. We know that as former state senators, the votes we cast influence behavior in the economy. So I'll just take one example. If the corporate rate coming down, as Cynthia alluded to, makes sense, we should ask, what behavior is that going to influence? And if that's going to bring some of this money that corporations have in other countries and bring it home, if that's going to mean more factories will offer good-paying jobs and good work environments for Americans, then I would say that's a good influence.
The thing that I'd just add here is that we have gone through a pretty lengthy period where income inequality and wealth inequality in the country has increased by a lot. And at least at first blush, this doesn't appear to be addressing that in any direct way.
All right. Cynthia, Dick, Phil, see you next week.